Now, we're going to open our Bibles today to the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles. And I'll be speaking from chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And the title of this message is Lord and Christ, both Lord and Christ. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to me. I'm going to show you some things from God's Word that are most critical and most important. Now, here's our text, Acts chapter 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture, one you've read many times, one you've heard read many times, Acts 2, 36. Therefore, Peter said, let all the house of Israel know that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, when they heard that God had made Jesus of Nazareth Lord and Christ, then when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, most of today's religion, now listen to me, and let's think for a moment. Most of today's religion is emotional, demonstrative, and charismatic. That's what they call it, charismatic religion. It's taking the country. People are meeting together for worship, and it's just bedlam. Singing, clapping, chanting, hand-waving, excitement, emotionalism, charismatic. And a name that it goes by is Pentecostalism. Pentecostalism. And the preachers who promote this enthusiasm and excitement and entertainment in the name of God, in the name of religion, they use the second chapter of the book of Acts, the one that I'm using today for my text. They use it to promote this excitement and promote this enthusiasm and this charismatic style of what they call worship. Well, let's look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 2. Let's go back up to verse 1 of this second chapter. I want you to listen to me, and I want you to think with me. Verse 1 says this, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, and there was a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues of fire, and the Holy Spirit came down. Now, when you hear the word Pentecost, when you hear the word Pentecost, what do you think about? Well, first thing you think about is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord told His disciples before He ascended back to the Father, He said, now you tarry at Jerusalem until you be endued with power. He told them the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of God will come upon you. Then you'll go out and preach the gospel. And when you think of Pentecost, many people think of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Cloven tongues of fire rested upon these apostles, the rushing mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. When our Lord Jesus came to the earth in the flesh, when He came in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, His coming also was accompanied by unusual signs. First of all, God hung a star over the manger where He was born. These wise men followed that star. And then the angels of God came down to earth. When our Lord came here to this earth, was born of a woman, the angels came down. And the heavenly host appeared to the shepherds on those Judean hillsides. And they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And told the shepherds, they appeared to these shepherds, angels of God, and told them not to be afraid. For unto them was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And just that way, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and indwelled the people of God, His coming was accompanied by unusual wonders and signs, just like the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't need a star to worship God. I don't need angels coming down to announce to me that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to know that He's come. In other words, every time we come together, we don't need a star over the meeting house, and we don't need angels to remind us Christ has come. And neither do I need tongues and rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire to know that the Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And the Holy Spirit is our comforter and our teacher and our guide and reveals Christ to us and infills us and enables us to preach. So when men think of Pentecost, they think of the coming of the Spirit of God. Then secondly, many people think of the gift of tongues. And they say that's always associated with Pentecostalism, is tongues. Well, what are these tongues? Right here in the second chapter of Acts, what are these tongues? Well, it tells you in verse 8. See, there were people gathered at that feast of Pentecost from all over that part of the world. They'd come from different nations. They weren't all Jews. They'd come from different nations. They weren't all local people. They were from Greece and they were from other places. They spoke other languages. And they said this in verse 8. How hear we every man in our own tongues? So these disciples who were speaking in tongues were speaking in tongues that could be understood. Languages that people spoke. These people were there from everywhere who spoke different languages. And they were hearing the disciples preach the gospel in their own language. Listen to verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. I'll tell you another thing you may think of when you think of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit accompanied by signs and wonders, the gift of tongues or speaking, preaching the gospel in other languages. You may also think of great revival and the success of the gospel because 3,000 people were brought to a knowledge of Christ and the gospel at that time. You know, we used to sing a song when I was a boy, Lord, send the old-time power, the Pentecostal power, the floodgates of mercy on us open wide, Pentecostal power. Well, what exactly is Pentecost? If I were to ask you right now, sitting right there listening to me, Pentecost, what does it mean? What is Pentecost? Well, if you look at Leviticus chapter 23, you can do it later if you want to. There were three feasts given to the Jews. Three prominent feasts. The first one's a Passover. You know about the Passover, where the Passover lamb is slain. Secondly, there was the feast of the waving of the sheep. The waving of the sheep. Now, the first day, Sunday, after the Passover, the Passover was the first feast. Then after that Passover Sabbath, the first day is Sunday, the first day of the week, Israel brought the first fruits that they gathered from the field, the barley, the wheat, the corn, or whatever. They brought the first fruits. It's called the Feast of the First Fruits, the waving of the sheep. And they brought the first fruits and waved them before the Lord. What they were saying was this, every product of the soil, everything we have to eat, everything that is ours, is of the Lord, the waving of sheep. Christ is the first fruits of those risen from the dead. He arose the first fruits of them that slept. Now, thirdly, watch this. Pentecost, that's the third feast, Pentecost. And it means 50. 50. The 50th. And here's how it gets its name. After the Passover, at the end of the harvest, after the Passover, you number 50 days, seven Sabbaths and the 50th day. And that's the feast of the harvest, the feast of praise and the feast of thanksgiving. So that's Pentecost. And all of these people were in Jerusalem to celebrate. They celebrated the Passover, the feast of the first fruits, and now the 50th day, they celebrated the feast of Pentecost. And they were all there. And that's when God, the Holy Spirit, came and indwelt the believers. And they preached the first sermon. After our Lord arose from the grave, ascended back to the Father, Peter preached the first sermon. Now, let me ask you this. When we talk about Pentecost, Pentecostalism, what's the chief issue raised here at Pentecost? The chief issue, the chief subject. An issue raised at Pentecost. Well, you ask, was it the coming of the Holy Spirit? It was at first. They heard the rushing mighty wind. They saw the cloven tongues of fire. The filling of the disciples, the Holy Spirit came, the great signs and wonders, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yes, first, that was the issue. People marveled. Well, what was the issue at Pentecost? The gift of tongues? Well, it was for a time. They heard these disciples speak the gospel in their own tongue, in their own language. And the people marveled. They said, we're hearing the wonderful works of God in our own tongue. Well, they marveled. They said, this is what they said. Are not these men Galileans? How do they speak these other languages if they were Galileans? So the thing that they marveled at first was the rushing mighty wind and the fire and then the tongues. And then they marveled at these Galileans, these unlearned men, preaching the gospel in their language. And they were in amazement and they were in wonder. Strange and supernatural things had occurred right before their eyes. But then Peter stood, and having explained what this was, he said, this is a fulfillment of that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, your sons and daughters shall prophesy and so forth. He said, that's what this is. And then listen, look at verse 22, Acts 2:22. Listen to Peter. Then he stood, and he said, men of Israel, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Now, he didn't say, hear this wind. Wouldn't have accomplished the thing. He didn't say, hear the wind. They had heard the rushing mighty wind. They marveled at it. But Peter said, I want you to hear some words now. I want you to hear some words. He didn't say, hear the tongue. Hear the tongues. They heard those and they marveled. They were amazed. They were taken up with them, astounded at them. But Peter stood and said, now I want you to hear some words, not the tongues. He didn't say, hear these Galileans. These Galileans, it's immaterial what you think of them. Totally immaterial. What he said was, hear these words I'm about to speak. You see, my friend, it's by hearing the Word of God that men are saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not hearing the music, or hearing the wind, or hearing the tongue, or hearing the Galileans. It's hearing these words. It says, of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. The Scripture says, in whom you trusted after you heard the Word of truth. Gospel of your salvation. Now he says, hear these words. Hear these words. Verse 22. Jesus of Nazareth. Hear the words now. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. A man. Yes, he's God. Very God of very God. But he's a man. A man. Born of a woman. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. A man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man. Let that be established. These words, who is He? He's a man. The man. Behold, the man. The Scripture says, a man shall be a hiding place in the time of storm, a shelter. A rock in a weary land. Hear these words. A man. Now watch the next word. A man approved of God. That's what makes the difference. A man anointed of God. Approved of God. No ordinary man. But a man God has set forth and sent. Hear, this is my beloved Son, God said. Hear Him. Hear Him. He's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Now listen to me, Peter said. Hear these words, a man, Jesus of Nazareth, a man, anointed, approved of God by miracles and signs and wonders, he said, which you yourselves know. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John 5 talked about the four witnesses. He said, John the Baptist bore witness of me. The Father bore witness of me. The works I do, bear witness of me. That's what Peter's saying here. Jesus of Nazareth, a man, approved, anointed, sent of God by miracles and wonders and signs, which he did among you, which you know. Nicodemus said, we know you came from God. No man could do these miracles except God be with him. One of them said one day, has it ever been heard that a man restored sight to a blind man? Has it ever been heard? Has it ever been seen? It was when Jesus of Nazareth came. And you know that, he said. You yourselves know that. Now look at verse 23. You men of Israel, now they're not listening to the wind anymore. They're not listening to the tongues. They're not even listening to the Galileans. They're listening to this anointed preacher. And he's talking about a man, sent of God, anointed of God, approved of God. And him, that man, being delivered over into your hands, delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge or foreordination of God. Him. That's what the gospel's all about. The gospel's a him. H-I-M. Him, the seed of woman. Him, the covenant surety. Him, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Him, the prophet, priest, and king. Him. Him. You have crucified and slain him. God delivered him into your hands. God Almighty delivered him by his determined, predestinated, predetermined will and counsel and foreknowledge or foreordination. God delivered him into your hands, and you, doing what your wicked hearts devised, crucified him. But you did what God determined before to be done. You did what God said you would do. You did what God willed to be done. That's what Acts 4:26 says. All the kings and rulers and Jews and Gentiles of this earth were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ to do whatsoever God determined before to be done. His death was the will of evil men, but His death was the will of a merciful, sovereign Lord. It pleased God to bruise him. It pleased God to put him to shame. All right, verse 24. Now listen. Hear these words. Oh, I tell you, we need to calm down. Put your hands down. Quit clapping and yelling and screaming and carrying on and calling it worship. And listen to his word. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs which you yourselves also know. Him, that man, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you, with wicked hands, have crucified and slain. Whom, listen to verse 24, whom God raised from the dead. This was the doctrine. Oh, this was the doctrine the Pharisees and religious leaders hated above all doctrines. They tried their best to discount the resurrection. They went to Pilate, and they went to the governor. They said they paid the soldiers. They did everything to keep them from admitting that Jesus Christ had risen from the tomb. They said, say his disciples stole his body. Say anything. We'll cover up for you. We'll cover for you. Don't tell him he arose from the grave. If Jesus arose, he's who he claimed to be. He said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. They thought he was talking about that Solomon's temple. He's talking about his body. I'll raise it up. He's God. If Jesus arose, they knew this, that all that he said about himself and what he said about them was true. And what he said about the way of life was true. Because here he's living. He arose. He's victorious over sin, death, and hell, and the grave. If he arose, all that he did is accepted of God. If he arose, all of his people will rise with him. He said, because I live, you live. I go away, but if I go, I'll prepare a place for you, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself. And when the disciples talked about the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Christ, they put him in prison. don't you preach this resurrection. Don't you preach this doctrine of resurrection. Don't you preach this man's name. You want to bring his blood on us? Him God raised from the dead. All right, look at verse 25. Now he said, you people have a lot of confidence in David, King David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the son of Jesse. David. The people loved David. They spoke of Abraham, Moses, and David. Well, he says, David said, thou wilt not abandon my soul, nor leave my body in the grave to see corruption. That's what David wrote. Thou wilt not abandon my soul. Thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption in the grave. Now he said, David did not speak of himself, because he says David is dead and buried. His sepulchre, his grave, right here where we are. And we know it. So when David said, thou wilt not abandon my soul, or suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, David wasn't talking about himself. When he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, he wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the Son of David. And he went on, he said, David's not ascended into the heavens. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that has risen from the grave and ascended unto heaven, to whom the Father said, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Ye men of Israel. Boy, they've forgotten the wind now. They've forgotten the tongues. They've forgotten who's speaking to them. Their eyes and attention and thoughts is on this man, Jesus of Nazareth. This crowd, the crowd that crucified him 52 days ago. They stood and watched him die 52 days ago. They heard about his resurrection. And he said, I'm going to tell you, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was delivered into your hands, whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead. And that's when he said in verse 36, therefore let every one of you, the house of Israel, know that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, God hath made him Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords, and Christ. Both Lord and Christ. The Lord of salvation, the sovereign Lord of mercy, and Redeemer, Christ. The anointed. He's the only Savior. He's the sufficient Savior. He's the sovereign Savior. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the Lord, and He's the Christ. Now, when they heard this, and oh, I tell you, and not when they heard the wind, They could have heard the wind. You talk about, you wish that the rushing mighty wind would blow again. Not me. I've heard the wind a lot of times. It doesn't do anything to the heart. Not miracles and signs and wonders don't convince men of sin and bring them to Christ. It's not when they heard the wind. It's not when they heard the tongues. It's not when they heard the disciples. It was when they heard this. These words that Peter spoke about this man, the Lord Jesus. When they heard this, Peter declared four things to these people. He declared who Jesus Christ is. He said he's the man, the God-man. He's the God-man. That man that's a shelter from the storm and a hiding place from the wind and a rock in a weary land. That man, who he is, he's the God-man. Secondly, what he did. He died on a cross. You crucified him. But he didn't die accidentally. God Almighty decreed his death, determined his death, designed his death, and you did what God determined to be done. You were the instrument that God used to nail his son to the cross to die for sinners. That's right. That's right. That's right. What he did, he died on that cross. What he did, he arose again. He arose again. God raised him from the dead. He lives. He lives. And seated him at his right hand. Why did he die? He died that God may be just and justified. That the law might be satisfied and justice might be honored. Where is he now? Peter told him where he is now. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He's seated. He's crowned. He's enthroned. He's on a sovereign throne. That's where He is. And they heard these words. Have you heard them? No, we're too busy with the wind. We're too busy with the good quartets. We're too busy with the whoop-de-doo. We're too busy waving our hands and clapping to hear anything. We don't hear anything. All we hear is preachers stomping and raving and whatever they do. We're not hearing these words. They heard these words. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the exact image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. When they heard these words, they said, "Men and brethren, what are we going to do? What must we do? What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Repent. Change your mind about who God is and who you are and who Christ is. Bow at the feet of Christ. Believe on Him. Look to Him. Commit yourself to Him. Confess Him in baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you'll receive the Holy Spirit and be saved."